You're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, just here to let you know that this episode has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Attitudes around tattoos are changing, and if you need proof, just ask a millennial. According to a 2016 Harris Poll survey of more than 2,000 Americans, nearly half of all millennials have at least one tattoo. The number is lower for Gen Xers, lower still for boomers, and goes down to about 10% for even older Americans. But the popularity of tattoos for younger people means that views about what's deemed professionally acceptable are also changing. About 60% of people in that same Harris poll said they're okay with tattoos on teachers, judges, even presidential candidates. And last month, the Vermont State Police updated its tattoo policy. Tattoos in potentially visible places like forearms are now allowed, although they have to be covered up while an officer is in uniform. Now, for short-sleeved Class C summer uniforms, that would mean full-length sleeve coverings for any officers with exposed ink. Some tattoos are still off limits for the Vermont State Police, nothing below the wrist or above the neck, and they forbid extremist tattoos that are considered sexist or racist. Captain Julie Scribner is the staff operations commander with the Vermont State Police. She oversees recruiting and training and professional standards, and she says the change reflects shifting attitudes around tattoos, but also the realities of recruiting new officers.
Historically, years and years ago, you know, the thought was the people that have tattoos are, you know, people that are in gangs or people that have spent time in prison. What we're missing out on is, you know, military members. You know, these are men and women who have served the country, and they're not able to serve the state of Vermont as a trooper because we're not allowing visible tattoos. So, you know, we're missing out on that group. And then, you know, culturally, certainly there are a lot more tattoos on people now than there were 30 years ago. I mean, it just wasn't a common sight. So we're becoming more progressive. We're attuned to current trends in society. This is where we felt that we could balance that by allowing these tattoos and, yes, requiring them to be covered up, but that's what the compromise is.
Captain Scribner says the new policy is already working. At the monthly open tests for potential police recruits, 11 people showed up, and Scribner says 4 had tattoos that would have kept them from joining the department before the new policy took effect. Today we're going to talk about tattoos and popular culture, how they've changed over time, how they're seen now, what's trending. Lila Reese is owner of Rock City Tattoos in Barrie. Jesse Levitt is a tattoo artist who owns Netherworld Studios in South Burlington, and they're both with us today. Thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Also with us is Deborah Blum, acting chair of the anthropology department at UVM, and she studied body modifications through human history. Welcome to the program to you, Professor.
Thank you.
So I'm curious if a change in policy in a place like the Vermont State Police seems in line with current attitudes, changing attitudes around this idea of professionalism and what a tattoo represents and who might get a tattoo. Professor Blum, let's start with you, since you know the scope of tattoos from, you know, pre-human history practically.
So certainly we see tattoos throughout human history. We see evidence of tools to make tattoos as early as 100,000 years ago. We see clear evidence on mummified human remains of tattoos 5,000 years ago. And, you know, really running from what we think are therapeutic tattoos based on arthritis that we see under the location of the tattoos to very widespread tattoos depicting mythical beasts in Siberia, mustache tattoos in South America. And we know that tattoos were very common in Eastern North America. And we hear these accounts when the Europeans came over to North America of the individuals living in this area having tattoos. So from an anthropological perspective, it's certainly normal, if one would ever use that word.
But in more recent times, I mean, I can remember back to my grandfather talking about his military experience and really looking down on people who had tattoos. And this was, you know, a thing for him that, you know, nobody my age who's respectable would get a tattoo. And that's clearly not the case, if it ever even really was, today. If half of all millennials have at least one tattoo, that signifies something is changing in cultural and popular attitudes, as well as in how people think of themselves and their own body modifications, right?
Right. And we definitely see a shift happening in the U.S. starting in the 1960s and just increasing up today, where, you know, tattoos have gone from being something that was seen as deviant to something that's very widespread.
Lila Reese, are you seeing that when people come in, that it seems like a changing attitude, or is that not something that presents itself when people come into your studio?
I've definitely noticed the acceptance has changed. I just recently had a young woman. She's an RN, and she had some self-harm scars on her arms. And her new employer told her that they basically wouldn't hire her if she had was showing those. But they were fine with her having a tattoo to cover them.
Huh.
And that really kind of – I was very surprised that they were fine with the tattoo but not with the self-harm scars. So we covered them all.
What did you cover them with?
She got some flowers, the birth flowers for her children.
Jesse, what about you? When people come in, are you seeing differing attitudes? And you know, for a lot of people, having a tattoo made you feel a little bit like you were outside of the mainstream. And is it different now if half of all people in your generation also have a tattoo that doesn't have the same meaning, perhaps?
Yeah, I have actually heard of, I've had a lot of tattooers tell me, you know, oh, it's not even cool anymore because everybody's getting them for a lot of reasons. You know, I think reality TV shows have had a lot to do with that. It's definitely become very mainstream, which I'm happy about.
And you are?
I think so. I think it's great. And I see a wide variety of different kinds of people coming in and getting work. I actually did a full sleeve on a gentleman in his 70s last year, came in for 2 days and got his whole arm done, who told me he used to kind of feel a little shy about coming to get that. It's like something he's always wanted, and now that it's a little more acceptable, he said he felt comfortable doing that.
So do you see people like that, and you said you think it's a good thing if it's more mainstream, that people might feel more comfortable or like they can do it without you know, raising the ire of their bosses or maybe their family and get the thing that they wanted for their whole life, versus people who are like, yeah, give me a tattoo. It's so cool these days. I just want one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people were afraid of getting the work done because of their job or what they thought people were going to think about them. And now it's, you know, it's really nothing. Everybody has them.
Lila Reese, I understand, though, that you do have some advice for people on perhaps where maybe to think about a different choice of body part or a different choice of tattoo style. And there are some pretty derogatory names that people have for certain tattoos, like the one on the small of your back. And I won't say them. You're welcome to say them if you want. But you or one that I hadn't heard about where you can get one sort of on the side of your body, maybe some symbols going down the side, like down your rib cage, that is maybe on trend, but not the best idea for everyone.
I think the conversation that we were having was, I was trying to say, I try not to do tattoos that look time stamped. So the trends of the lower back tattoo or the tribal armband. And now with sites like Pinterest, that's basically the modern tattoo flash. So I try not to give people the things that, it's hot right now, but in 20 years, it's going to look like, oh, you got that in 2018.
Which maybe some people want. Like, you want that moment in time.
But when they come back 20 years later and they want that tribal armband covered up, you know, you just shake your head. You're like, man.
Well, the tribal armbands were all the rage when I was in college in the late 90s. Are people coming in getting those covered up now?
Oh, yeah. or they want to. I usually suggest laser removal as an option because those tattoos are so black. But I believe there's only one laser removal place in the whole state of Vermont, so it's not as popular of an option here.
You know, Deborah Blum, the tribal tattoos are one area where there have also been some questions about cultural appropriation and people, you know, using tattoos and getting symbols, whether they're symbols in other languages or traditional native artwork that maybe doesn't have the cultural meaning to them that it does to people from that culture. And tattoos seem like a place where that's been a little bit of a tension, but also a really popular thing. What have you found in your work on that idea of cultural appropriation?
Yeah, so, I mean, even going back into the Victorian ages, we see people who tried to replicate tattoos that they had sort of viewed as belonging to more primitive people. And I think, obviously, attitudes have changed dramatically since then. Whereas we might think that getting a tattoo is representative of another culture is a sort of a compliment and a nod to that other culture. And I think today things are changing quite a bit. And now this is seen as cultural appropriation, which I think, brings up the interesting point about tattoos as a permanent type of body modification, have a slightly different meaning and to them than cultural modification of our bodies that we can change really quickly, like our hairstyles or our clothing.
Susan wrote in to say, my tattoos are important reminders or markers of life events and things that are important to me. They're for me, not anyone else. While I do worry about younger folks who want a tattoo because it's trendy and who don't think about its permanence, tattoos are just another means of personal expression, and it's time to end the stigma. Courtney shared pictures of her many tattoos on her arms and back, and she wrote in to say, I was 30 before I got my first tattoo, a sizable one across my upper back. I was afraid of what it would feel like, but after about 10 minutes, it didn't matter. I got 8 in the span of 3 years, all done by the same amazing person. They are all beautiful and special to me. Tattoos are a personal choice and always have been. I'd rather pay to put art on my body than hang it on a wall. Let us know about your tattoos and your perceptions. Call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post your comments on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.org. Jesse Levitt, you know, that question of paying to put art on my body rather than hang it on a wall. For people who come to you, how often are they coming to you and saying, here's my design, can you replicate it on my body, versus you're an artist, I want you to design something that I get then to have a piece of your art on me?
100% of people are coming to me for my art, which is great. It's a privilege to get to work like that. And, you know, I think that's a really good way about going about collecting art, too, because, like you said, people are willing to pay art or pay money to get art on their body as opposed to hanging on their wall. And I think that's part of what's made a lot of true artists who are really passionate about the art side of things. That's what's caused a lot of them to get into tattooing for that kind of an opportunity, as opposed, you know, not everybody wakes up in the morning and wants to buy an oil painting. But a lot of people wake up in the morning and like, you know, I kind of want to get a tattoo.
So, you know, Lila was mentioning Pinterest. People can look at all kinds of things on Pinterest. And if somebody comes to you with a photo they've printed out on the internet of, you know, somebody else's work and says, give me this, you're not going to do it.
No, I would just refer them to another shop.
Lila, you've worked in street shops where, you know, you do sort of the here's a design, I can put it on your body, versus I'm going to create something for you. What's the difference for you in how you feel about your art?
I think the biggest thing with the working in street shops, I mean, it's fantastic because you get your chops and you have to do whatever comes through the door quickly and efficiently. But as an artist, I felt like I didn't have enough time or personal freedom to be able to really give 100% of what I think I could give. So I kind of transitioned out of the street shop. I didn't know my shop would eventually end up private, but it just sort of evolved into that. And that way I can take as much time as I want with each person. There's nobody popping in, what are you getting done, or getting it done quickly. It's just the client and myself, and it allows me just that time to really give all the effort that I can.
So do you like it when someone comes to you with a pretty fleshed out idea, or do you hope for a blank canvas?
I usually ask for them to kind of get 80% there of what they'd like to get, and then I'll help them with that like last little bit, because most people in general, they kind of know what they want. It's really difficult when they come in and they don't know what they want and they say, what do you think? And I tell them, I'm a tattooer, I'm going to tell you to get a wolf with a dagger in its head. So you have to tell me what you want, because I can't really read your mind, you know.
Do you have a personal style?
Well, I like to do portrait work. I like to do everything, to be honest. Illustrative, traditional, watercolor. So it keeps it interesting for sure.
And do you have to keep practicing all of those to make sure that even if nobody comes in to sort of let you work on your watercolor, that you're actually practicing to make sure that you're up to snuff the next time someone does come in?
Yeah, I do traditional watercolor paintings, and then I splurged and I finally got an iPad to learn to draw on, because I'm old and I didn't want to embrace technology. So I'm trying to keep up to snuff with technology and keeping my skills on point.
Professor Blum.
So I think this is a really interesting discussion between how anthropologists have seen tattoos as a means of creating a social skin and inscribing your biography on your body versus a means of artistic expression by the tattoo artist.
So. Yeah. And Jesse, what about you? I'd love to know about your personal style and what you enjoy most doing.
I do dark art pretty much, so I do a lot of skulls and very heavily abstracted dark imagery. I kind of just go off the wing of my cuss when people come in. I don't really pre-draw things, so people come in and they'll give me a little bit of an idea sometimes, like, oh, I like a human skull or maybe some kind of wolf skull or something, and I just kind of go at it from there.
And so do you freehand directly onto people's skin instead of doing a drawing first and then, you know, sort of putting it on as a stencil and saying, here's what I'm going to give you exactly. This is what it's going to look like.
Yeah, I actually sit down with people when they come in and we'll chat for a couple minutes about what we're going to do, where we're going to do it. And then I spend about 2 to 3 hours just drawing with markers, usually right on the people's skin. And then, at that point, we go until we're both stoked on it, and then we get started.
What happens if halfway through, I mean, hairstylists will tell you, sometimes you get halfway through, you cut a little too much, and someone goes, oh, no. But, you know, hair can grow back. If somebody halfway through a tattoo starts to have regrets or you're seeing something in their face that doesn't look quite right, what do you do?
I've really never had that experience with my style.
People know what they're getting when they come to you, basically.
Yeah, my work is all very similar and consistent, so people know what they're getting into. And, if somebody kind of has a preference about something that I'm doing that they want to change a little bit, that comes out during the marker drawing. But usually people just kind of let me go for it.
Lila, what about you? You're nodding. That sounds familiar, but have you ever...
Oh, well, I just am very familiar with Jesse's work, so... You definitely know what you're getting when you get an appointment with them, for sure.
Have you had people who halfway through you think, I'm not sure this person wants what I'm giving them, or they weren't prepared for this?
No, I'm big on communication. So we definitely have a conversation before we get started. I tend to ask too many questions because I want to be sure that they're going to be happy when they leave. Because once that tattoo leaves, it's not mine anymore. So I tend to ask too many questions, I think, in the consult portion.
We have more comments from people who are sharing their tattoos and their thoughts. David shared a picture of his tattoo, which is an intricate geometric design on the inside of his forearm. And he says, I think getting a tattoo is no different than getting a piercing. I have some that are meaningful and some that are just for fun. I find it frustrating when people judge others with tattoos, saying, that's going to look bad when you get older, or asking me what each one means. It's a personal decision that shouldn't be stigmatized by other people. Robin shared a picture of her tattoo. Her forearm reads, go where the love is, and has a bright gold and red coloring in the word love, as well as a colorful flower peeking over the lettering. And she says, I'm 65 and just getting started. It makes me happy. It's art on my arm. Perfect. Holly says, I love sewing, and I got my first tattoo for my 35th birthday. And she shared a photo of her tattoo, which is a mannequin torso with a half-completed dress that's being magically created on her arm by a needle and thread. And Daniel shared a really incredibly detailed tattoo of a raven on his forearm, and he writes, I got my first tattoo at 35 during what I jokingly referred to as my healthy early midlife crisis. I've gotten one or two more each year. It's absolutely addictive. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm, and today we're talking with tattoo artists Jesse Levitt, owner of Netherworld Studios in South Burlington, and Lila Reese, owner of Rock City Tattoos in Barrie. Also with anthropology professor and acting chair of the department at UVM, Deborah Blum. Michael on Facebook says, I think it's a fad that's gone a bit overboard. You really have to wonder what some of these pieces are going to look like on people as they get older. To which Aaron replies, everything was a fad once. The first guy to scrape something on a cave wall was a weirdo. And Karen says, to people who worry about how other people's tattoos are going to look on them when they get older, who cares? Newsflash, nothing looks good on you when you get older. When I'm 80, I will look at my tattoos and smile, remembering how young I was when I got each one and the significance of each of them. They can sag and wrinkle along with the rest of me. I will still love them. And let's go to Karen, who's calling on from Lebanon, New Hampshire. Hi, Karen. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much. I don't have any tattoos myself, but my sister has tattoos, and she has a lot of them, and uses them to mark really important times in her life, like when she graduated from nursing school. And she has one tattoo that's really, really special to me. Our mother died when we were young, and when our grandmother died, her mother also died. That was pretty recently. She had a beautiful tattoo put on her back of a dogwood tree, which was outside of our home when we grew up, with three beautiful blossoms representing me and her and our brother, and a hummingbird sitting on the branch representing our grandmother. And I'm tearing up just thinking about it, because it's just such a beautiful way, I think, to honor and remember both of our mother and our grandmother. And so even though it's not for me, I really respect what my sister has done. And I think they can be really beautiful and meaningful.
Karen, it's interesting to hear you say that your sister's tattoo is really meaningful to you, that, you know, it's not on your body, but it still has really significant meaning to you when you see it. Do you ask to see it, or is it visible whenever you see your sister?
It's on her back, so like in the summertime, it will naturally kind of be there if we're at the beach or, you know, and I think I can understand some people who maybe feel that they're really private, but in my experience, I think that sometimes people appreciate being asked because it's a chance for them to share whatever that story or that memory is. We have a lot of family in France, and tattoos are not quite accepted, I think, in the same way that they are maybe in this country. And so whenever we visit across the ocean, there's a little bit of a different reception. But she, I think she likes to share her stories. She's proud of some of her tattoos are about proud moments, and some are about really special family things. And so I really like it, even though it's not for me personally. I appreciate it.
Well, Karen, thanks for sharing your perspective. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Dan, who's calling in from Barrie City. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jane.
Go right ahead.
So I'm 40 years old. I got my first tattoo at 35. And, you know, one of the things I was concerned with at the time was how this would impact my career. I'm a business lobbyist. And, you know, I got my first tattoo on my arm. It's quite big. And I was a little worried that I torpedoed my future job prospects in some ways. And but quickly realized that one of my board members, a respected Vermont business leader, also had a tattoo from the same artist that I had worked with. So that was a real eye-opening experience for me, and realized that this is not a liability. In fact, it's a good conversation starter at times, and quite frankly, a lot of people in the business community, their perspectives are quickly changing as this, you know, new generation of entrepreneurs who are moving up into the field, you know, and they have they're heavily tattooed at times.
Dan, thanks for sharing your thoughts. Deborah Blum, could we see tattoos as the new golf? You want to get in good with the boss? You should get a tattoo from the same artist. Then you have a conversation piece. You don't have to go to the golf course.
Yeah, it certainly could go that way. And I wanted to make a point about what Karen said about tattoos marking important events and what we see in societies where that was very important. When colonial governments came in and tried to outlaw tattooing, that was one of the main points of resistance for people who wanted to mark things like important deaths in their family. So,
let's go to Harry, who's with us from St. Johnsbury. Harry, hi.
Hello. I'd very much like to know about the biological or biochemical process that, you know, is behind annealing a tattoo, so to speak, under one's skin.
So you mean like how does the ink become permanent? How does it actually work on your body to have a permanent marker in a tattoo?
That's precisely what I'm asking.
All right. So, Lila, let me start with you.
It's magic. I mean, I can't. He should Google it. Honestly, I hate to sound ignorant about the process. I don't know if you could explain it in a more scientific way than I can.
Jesse, well, do you have more than magic?
It's in the living dermis layer of your skin.
Yeah, it is magic. Basically, you know, you have different arrangements of needles. When you're tattooing, it's not just one needle. There's all different shapes, you know, so there'll be seven needles at once to make a line. You know, mm-hmm. You'd think it's just one needle, looks like one needle, but there'll be seven, sometimes five, three. Anyways, so you're using a seven lining needle. You go to tattoo somebody, each one of those needles pokes a little tiny hole in the skin, and that allows the ink to kind of, which is flowing on top of the skin, there's ink all over the place. So when it punctures the skin, the ink goes in underneath the skin into the fatty tissue and beneath, and it just stays there. The ink's actually still very liquid under there. It stays, and, you know, it looks permanent, and it is. And over time, you know, that can get dispersed a little bit. That's why tattoos fade. But, I mean, that's basically it. It's pretty simple. You just punch a hole, ink goes in, there it is.
And you have to get it down into the fatty tissue because obviously your skin sloughs off over time.
Yeah, you have to go just deep enough to get into that, but not too deep otherwise.
That's the magic part. It has to be deep enough and not too shallow. It just has to be just right.
Yeah. Professor Blum, have the material, I mean, obviously they have certainly changed a lot over time, but materials today in terms of ink and in terms of the tools that people have used, from what we know about early tattoos. And we, even before we have mummified humans, you've seen like tattoo kits. How did they know and how did they find out how to make tattoos permanent? And were they permanent in early tattoos?
Well, I think, I mean, what we know about some early tattoos is they were used made by some type of needling and then ash put into the cuts. And so what we look for to determine whether or not we're really looking at tattoo tools or not is just a bit of polish on the end of the needles or a series of inline needles and hafting that is perpendicular to the needle.
We got a note from Anne who says, I am a 62-year-old woman. I got my first tattoo at 45. It is a tattoo of my horse. Many years later, I embraced both my Irish heritage and my identity as a mother with an Irish motherhood knot. It was also the first time anyone ever mentioned my tattoos in the context of my person. It was a coworker who said something about not thinking of me as a biker babe type. As a single woman, I've noticed that some men are really freaked out about tattoos. I guess I wonder what tattoos have to do with your relationship potential or with your intellect. I'm an RN with 36 years of experience and a graduate degree. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people are talking about what their tattoo means to them. And we've been talking a little bit about changing norms around hiring practices. But you can't necessarily have something on your body, whether it's clothing or makeup or your hairstyle or your tattoo, and be able to project what you want onto the other person. They're going to perceive something about you based on their own experiences. But, you know, there was a time when seeing somebody with a tattoo might say, oh, that's a biker babe, or that's not what I thought she was. And, you know, you get to have your own identity. But do you see, I mean, Lila Reese, when you're talking to people about their tattoos, the way that other people perceive them, have you heard them tell you, you know, that's changed, that if people can see my visible tattoos or I'm in an intimate relationship, that the attitudes that other people have toward them changes?
Well, first off, there's nothing wrong with being a biker babe. I own two motorcycles, so. And yeah, I mean, I think that's part of, becomes the ownership of your body, especially as a woman, is you kind of don't care. So it's almost a statement of saying, you know, this is my body. I'm going to do with it what I want. So for me, you know, as a heavily tattooed girl, you know, I really don't care what anybody else thinks. Or on another level, it can become fetishized where people just like the tattoos or want to touch your tattoos. Or so, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
Well, just a quick note I wanted to make. We've been talking about how tattoos have and their meanings, and everybody, you know, has a meaning for their tattoo. But I just wanted to make a side note that it's totally cool and to get a tattoo with no meaning at all. You could just purely be a fan of art and want some nice art. And just like some people see an oil painting and attach some meaning they have, it makes them feel a certain way. You know, maybe you could have something like that with your tattoo. But I just wanted to say also
that that's
just getting
okay
some
too.
Artwork, that's okay.
Yeah, it's just an aesthetic. I mean, I tell clients that all the time. The number one thing with your tattoo is it should look cool and then have the meaning and the symbolism behind it. But I'm not going to ruin a potential tattoo to put 1,000 details in that are unnecessary, because the first thing is you want it to be fun to look at, enjoyable to look at, and then it can represent everything else. But I think, you know, really it boils down to it's an aesthetic.
But if somebody came to you and said, I want a face tattoo, would you talk to them about, you know, people are going to look at you perhaps differently? Or if somebody said, you know, I want a swastika, I want something, and it's likely to be something that might be offensive to other people.
I tend to stay away from hands and necks unless it's on a heavily tattooed person. But I just recently was at a Dunkin' drive-thru in Lebanon, and the girl had a face tattoo. And the next weekend I was in Montreal, and the Starbucks barista had face tattoos. So I don't know anymore.
But, and you wouldn't have a problem doing a face tattoo if somebody really wanted it?
I would prefer it was somebody that was self-employed or a tattooer or fully committed. But if they're not pretty heavily tattooed, I don't have my hands or my neck done, you know, so I still have that. I can be look like a non-tattooed person when I want to. And I find that to be an advantage for me personally sometimes.
Jesse, do you have places that you won't tattoo people or things that you won't tattoo?
No. I mean, I use my judgment. So if somebody came in and had no tattoos at all and they wanted both their hands and their neck tattooed, I would tell them to maybe consider a different spot. I would tell them that. But I've tattooed many people's heads, faces, necks. I do that quite a bit, actually. But a lot of them are tattoo artists or self-employed people. You know, so you just have to be responsible about it and not give an 18-year-old a face tattoo.
Is it true that if you're getting your top of your head tattooed, that's likely to be more painful?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nobody has a good time doing that.
Let's go to Karen, who's calling in from Rutland. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I just had a question about dermatology and tattoos, where I've spoken with dermatologists, and they say that they're not able to find the skin cancers if you have so many tattoos and sleeves of tattoos. And I just wanted to hear what they had to say about that.
Thanks for the call, Karen. So, Lila and Jesse, you both have a lot of tattoos on your arms. They're visible here and perhaps in other places as well. Have you heard anything from your doctors, from dermatologists, about the difficulties of maybe detecting something like skin cancer?
I have heard it can be more difficult to find that, depending on how dark and busy your tattoos are. But the other side of it is people with tattoos generally want to take care of them and put on sunscreen religiously every
day. Oh, really?
So, yeah. I mean, that could outweigh the risk factor there, potentially.
Do you put on sunscreen when you're going out?
All the time.
Do you, Lila?
SPF 50.
And let's hear from Tim in Waitsfield. Hi, Tim.
I got my first tattoo when I was 53, and it's single. It's about 7 inches long. It's the image of Vermont with a long trail, and it has little markers of each place that we stayed on the trail.
And why did you get it? Why did you want to memorialize your trip on the Appalachian Trail by putting a memory of it and a visible reminder of it on your skin?
It was for my 50th birthday. My partner agreed to go with me, so it was a long trip, and it was hard, but definitely life changing. So I just want to kind of commemorate that trip that we had. So I get to see it every day. It's on my forearm, so I like it.
And are you going to get another one now? Is this the start of something, or is this your one and only, you think?
Yeah, about a month later, I got another one. So.
Tim, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. And Kristen writes in to say, you know, we're all someplace on the body modification spectrum. We all wear clothes. Some of us wear makeup. Some dye our hair. Some do Botox. Some have breast implants, earrings. Some have tattoos. Some brand themselves. It's all body modification. It's all how you feel comfortable about your own body. None of it is for you to judge others. I think visors and tan pants are hideous. We all choose what makes us feel good. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's wrong. So, Deborah Blum, as you look to from the start of tattooing on through up to today, where do you see this going? I mean, obviously not going away, but becoming more and more of a sort of popular mainstream thing?
Yeah, I see it becoming more and more of a popular mainstream thing. And if people who want to get tattoos as a form of resistance, that sort of requires them upping the ante a bit. So I think we will probably see more elaborate tattoos.
And maybe in more places that mm-hmm. are still a little bit more shocking,
right.
Like a face tattoo.
Yes.
Deborah Blum is an associate professor and acting chair of the anthropology department at UVM. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Lila Reese is owner of Rock City Tattoos in Barrie. Lila, thanks to you.
Thanks.
And Jesse Levitt owns Netherworld Studios in South Burlington. Jesse, a pleasure talking with you today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, if you want to share your pictures of your tattoos or see some really incredible artwork on other people's bodies, you can go over to the VPR Facebook page and add your pictures there or look at the pictures that others have posted.